For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
All right, so Sister Makaria just came back from Arizona, and I wanted to share a little testimony before I share a very short message, and then we'll be going home soon. All right, Sister Makaria, over to you.
Amen. First of all, I think that, you know, when they say that a child of an elephant is an elephant, it's really true. Amen. I went to Arizona in the grace of Bishop Dag and my daddy, Reverend Fletcher. Amen. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. I remember on Wednesday, I almost was trying to go home with him because I really didn't know what I was going to do. An invitation came from like their native Indians, American Indians, for me to come and minister in song. And I just thought, all along, I thought, you know, the day was so far away. But as it was getting close, I started to get really nervous. Because they were telling me that they were going to invite the whole, you know, area to come. They were going to bring people who were sick and so forth. And I was thinking to myself, how am I going to heal these people? But anyway, before I went, Daddy was telling me that, you know, it's not me per se who's going to do anything, but I should just go and believe that I'm anointed. And I should sing. He helped me with the selection of even some of the songs. And so I just went. And as they were introducing me, I was like, okay, who is this person? I don't know who this person that they're introducing. But I just prayed to the Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, I'm here. And I just pray that you take over. So as I went there, I took Daddy's advice. I just started talking about where I come from, how I started singing, that I couldn't even sing, which is true. I actually, at the point, I was really offended. I had to leave the choir. People, you know, kicked me out of the choir at some point. We were on Ron Street and said that I didn't know how to sing and so forth. So, and then I remember one time, even I was standing in the choir and somebody was like, oh, that's not how you sing it. And I was really, you know, disappointed. I thought maybe I'm going to join the children or something and teach the children. But I remember Reverend Brian just encouraged me, and he said that, you know, I really like the way that you sing, and I thought he was just saying it, you know, but I truly could not sing, and I believe that, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunity that Daddy gave me to even sing, somebody who could not sing, and I believe I grew through that, and the anointing was also growing. So anyway, when I got on stage, I was talking about that whole story, and they could not believe it. They thought I was just making it up. They said, oh no, I must have been singing since I was born, which it's not true. So so I began with that, with the introduction, and then from there, I started with the songs that I was singing. And I must say, I was really blown away. The hearts of the people were so open. And as I was ministering the first day, I didn't lay hands on anybody at first, as I was just singing, and people would just fall on the ground and stuff like that. So like afterwards, I sang song after song, like Daddy had told me to sing and then preach a little bit. So that's what I did. You know, I'll sing and preach, you know, mainly about the song that I'm singing about. And I believe the songs were very anointed as well. And then after that, they were like, you have to pray for us. You have to pray for us. The pastor said, you have to pray for us. And I thought I was done. So anyway, I started. I was like, hey, this one, Daddy didn't tell me how to lay hands. Now I have to try. So I just, you know, believed that my hands were, you know, the hands of Jesus. And I started laying hands on people and a lot of manifestations. So I thought, I mean, it was mind-blowing. I was with Cynthia, and at a point she was trying to do the video and the pictures, and she was falling. When she comes close to me, she would just fall down. Okay, so that was the first day. Very, very mighty things happened. And then the second night, it was kind of like a crusade. So they put up a tent in the community. And so they had like this band that was playing music I think that's how they do it. So they start playing this loud music and people start coming out of their houses, and anybody who's driving by can just park their cars. Some of them, they're not even really safe. They're just standing in their cars. They just want to see. They think it's a show. So they did that for a little bit, and then they, you know, handed over to me again. And then as I was singing, then people were coming from the cars, coming into the tent. And as I sang the first song, I saw manifestations, like, you know, people with demons. I mean, they were wriggling like snakes in front without me laying. The second day, I didn't lay hands on anybody. It was all just by themselves. And then I became a little bit bolder that second night, and I said, I want anybody who has been healed to come and give testimonies. So they started coming. And the first person who came was testifying that he was not really coming there that night, but he was driving by. As he was driving by, he heard Sinach singing. So he came to see Sinach. Because he heard Sinaj, so he came to see Sinaj. And so when he came...
So now you are the Sinaj.
Yeah.
How many of you know Sinaj?
So we thought, oh, really? I mean, he was like, yeah. He's like, are you sure? Because, you know, I think, you know how sometimes we think that Chinese people look the same. He was really thinking that I look like. He said, are you sure you're not there? I said, no, please, I'm not. He was trying to take pictures with me and all that. He called me. He's like, where's the lady that you came with? You people think I'm lying. I really came to see Sinach. I like that woman. And then he was showing us his music on the phone of Sinach. I said, sir, please, I'm not Sinach. I'm from Philadelphia. And so that was the test. And then after that, some other people came to testify. There was a lady who said she was going to commit suicide. But as I was ministering, she felt something lifted up. It was just like some of them, they couldn't explain. There's a spirit of like alcoholism, and they do a lot of, they don't call it voodoo, but they're into spiritism, something like that. And so most of their testimonies were they just feel like they don't want to do it again. You know, there was a man who came, he just ran. I was really scared because I was on the stage. He was coming towards where I was. I didn't know what he was doing. So but when he got to where I was, he just fell down. And then when he fell down, he got up again. He was trying to run, but he ran to the corner. He threw up. Like, he was looking like he was mad. So when he went to throw up on the side, immediately after that, he got up and went and sat down like a normal person. Like, nothing happened again. And then one lady was trying to come like towards where I was also, and I was like, the curse is broken. Like, I don't know what I was saying. I was like, the curse is broken. And then as I was saying that, she was like, no, I'm trying to get away from you. There's too much light. And she was running away from me. And then so things like that. And I just realized that indeed I think I was just a vessel that God was using. And you don't realize what you learn, because I think Cynthia was saying that what I was doing is what she's seen Reverend do, like at conventions, you see. But I wouldn't know that. I didn't know what I was even doing. So I think in that moment, you just do what, you know, you have been saying. Yeah, and it was just really testimony after testimony. And I felt the power of God was so strong, not even when I was ministering. The Saturday, somebody came to pick us up to show us where they live. And so the lady was driving us. As I was sitting with her in the car, I just heard like something that told me that ask her these questions. And it was like in like one by one, right? And I was just following her. I asked her, how many children do you have? She said she has 6. But then I felt something say that, ask her what happened to her older son. So I said, what happened to your older son? She said, she shook. We almost were going to crash because she was like, who told you? And I was like, I don't know anything. She said, oh, my son shot himself last month and I want to kill myself. So then after that, I was like, oh, no. I said, you know, God will heal you. I just want you to know, are you coming tonight? That's what I was telling her, because the meeting was the night. I said, please come tonight, because God is going to deliver you tonight at the meeting. I don't know what I was saying. And then she went on to say that, yeah, and she really want to kill herself because, and I said, so out of the 6 children, how many are living? Like what I was saying, I don't know what I was saying. So when I hear Reverend say that, sometimes he's saying stuff, he doesn't know what he's saying. That's what it is, like I was just saying. And then she said, actually, she is now 4. And I said, what happened to the other one? She said that her baby was run over by an alcoholic, which was a mother, actually. So they have those kind of burdens and yokes and things that are, yeah. So, and I believe that really God moved. So as I was leaving that night, there were pastors in town that had come to that crusade. So they came to me and they said, you know, do you go around preaching? Please, we would like to, you know, invite you to come to the next ones. And I was like, no, I really don't. Next time I'm coming with my pastor who's coming to preach. And so, yes. So they just took my information and it was really an awesome time.
I can't go.
Amen. So I think the testimony is that we are anointed and the Holy Spirit is in us. And I think that unless we do something, we don't know what we are carrying. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that let us do what we are asked to do, right? I think it's all by just following, you know, being humble and doing stuff. Ooh, I wouldn't have ever known that God would use me to do something like that. But as we humble ourselves and God opens the door for us, we'll see how much, you know, is inside of us. Because it's not us. I know that it was not me at all. You know, because after that, I just felt like a normal person, you know. So, yeah. So I think that, you know, the lesson is that let us humble ourselves. And we are really under a mighty anointing. Like I'm telling you, Pastor Norman from Phoenix, you know, he's watched Reverend Fletcher on some of the ministrations. I think even way back, he was like, oh, Sister Macaria, it's like you've gotten Reverend Fletcher's anointing. You know, so people can have eyes to see. And I just want you to humble yourselves under this great anointing that we are under. And God will use us mightily. Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. For the Lord, isn't it? So, as I heard a nice testimony, I was saying to myself, actually I felt in my heart that I should preach on familiarity. So, because of this Sunday is a special Sunday, so the following Sunday I'll start. It's the same person, you know? Same person. But the response is very different. Yeah. So welcome to the club. The club of people getting used to you. And it's a normal reaction, you see. Yeah. Emma, you are very anointed. You have no idea. Yeah, you will know only when you step out. When the visitor's aura hits you. Otherwise, people around you, they'll all be familiar with you. Yeah. One of the groups of people who are very familiar are spouses. Yeah. So that you'll be in the house, Emma won't believe you. When she started singing, Pastor, someone didn't believe her. Yeah. But now you can see that he's believing small. Because when he's here and, you know, she's singing, he'll come and hold the mic stand and try to adjust. Yeah. You might have to believe your wife. Do you understand? Yeah. People kill your ministry by familiarity. You see? So familiarity will come to you. I mean, you don't have to chase it. It's normal. Anything that you see regularly, you see frequently, you interact with all the time, becomes normal. It loses its sense of awe, and it becomes ordinary. Yes. And we are all ordinary anyway. But what happens is that you miss on the gift of God on the person that could otherwise minister to you. So that is it. She tells me all the time. When she's singing, people be chatting, people are talking, people don't listen, I enjoy it. I may be sitting quiet, but it's refreshing. Yeah. If I sometimes when I'm at programs, maybe conventions outside this church with her. And I mean, there was a day I stopped preaching. I said, come and sing. I needed a little refreshing. Because I got to a point, I wasn't sure even what to do next. So you guys come and sing. Let me sit down and connect again to the Holy Spirit. Wow. You see. So yeah, it's her. Say Macaria. So let's be careful. You understand? Let's be very, very careful. Sunday people were very happy that Lady Pastor preached. Some people came like, let her preach more. Let me have to release her. I'll release her cry. And the truth is that I've been telling her, preach. Sometimes I beg, preach, let me sit down, you preach. I'm happy. Because she's a very powerful preacher. You understand? Yeah. But you let her stand here like I stand here week after week, you see that become ordinary. Yeah. You soon start telling her, can you sit down, lady pastor, and let Reverend preach? That's how familiarity is. You see. That is why. So sometimes it's almost like a disadvantage to know somebody. You understand? Yeah, it's almost like a disadvantage to know somebody. Because when you know somebody, you start knowing the person's weaknesses, the person's shortcomings, and it covers everything. Yeah. People like Bishop Doug and, you know, Bishop Ayedepo, you can't talk bad about Kenneth Hagin in front of them. Yeah. Bishop Ayedepo says if you start talking about Kenneth Hagin, let's say he's invited to a church or, you know, a program, and you start to, you walk out. Yeah. Because you don't want anyone to pollute your source of blessing. You see, yeah. So you have to be very, very, very careful. Very, very, very careful how you embrace the anointing. Yes. All right? So let us pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this evening. We ask that you speak to us in this few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been doing lay people and the ministry, isn't it? Lay people and the ministry. And today I want to talk about the different levels of the anointing. Different levels of the anointing. Anointings are in different levels. Yeah, you have to recognize that. There are levels of anointing. If you don't know the levels of anointing, you will not even desire it. You will not want it. Yeah. Do you know that if you take, for example, TVs, there are levels of TVs. Imagine also, you are the technical people. Yeah. If you doubt, just go to Best Buy. All right? And they have a section. Is it called Magnolia or something? Magnolia section or something like that. They have their different screens with different resolutions. The latest technology is OLED. It's the top. If you put the TV off, the screen is black. I know because I was looking at them. I went to look at them. My IT person, IT head of department was telling me, so I just wanted to go and see. Yeah. So the darker the background of a TV is, the more pronounced the colors are. So if you watch a TV that is an OLED TV, all right? OLED actually, it's a technology that was started by LG, and Sony took over, or Sony bought the technology, or they buy into it. So Sony's also have OLEDs, all right? Because the background is so black, the colors are so pronounced. See, red is red. Yellow is yellow. Orange is orange. I mean, wild color resolution. Yes. So Samsung also thought they were also going to do the same. So they also started one they call QLED. But they may be powerful with phones. They are. Am I not saying something that is true? Yeah. So their QLED is not like LG's OLED. Very different. Yeah. But you would see that there are levels of screens that make watching TV a different experience. Yeah. But I'm talking to you about the anointing. I use that to whet your appetite. That there are levels of anointing. Yeah. Different levels, and you have to know, because if you don't know, you will not be eager to change levels. Yes, you will think that this is not the end. You understand? Don't be happy because people are falling one or two. I mean, falling down is just the beginning. Yes, they are higher anointed. So that should encourage us to go higher. All right. So various levels of anointing. So why is this important for lay ministry? You can't do lay ministry or any ministry without the anointing. You cannot. You will not be effective. You, without the anointing, you will talk to people and turn blue in the face. they will not be affected. Yes. Many years ago, you know, when we went through a phase in a church, we didn't have so many branches. We had a group of very young people, you know, in the church, Kloko, Ameli, and the rest. And I remember I used to struggle with them, preaching to them. I mean, in fact, at the point, we were on Ron Street then. We had been through so many places, Doubletree, YMCA, somebody's living room, and we had ended up at Ron Street, this little place. And I remember, I mean, I'll be preaching, and they'll be in the back. They usually like sitting in the back. I see how the technical people are sitting in the back. And everything I said was funny. Yeah, they'll just be giggling throughout. And their chief person was Brother Alex. Remember the last time I mentioned it? Yeah? And I used to eye Brother Alex. I was like, this guy, is he really coming to church or is it because of the girls? But today, look at him. A very serious guy now, isn't it? Yeah. On his way to becoming a pastor. And they would just be laughing. Yeah. You know, those days when Bishop preaches, he would sing in between. So I also say, oh, let me also start singing. So then I'll start. I want to be more like some people. Laughing at me. See, their eyes are closed, but their face is not a prayerful face. It's one of smiling and just holding their breath, not to break out in, not in tongues, but in laughter. It wasn't easy. How did I get into all this? Yeah. Yes, I used to struggle with them. But we just went to camp. We came back. Oh, everything is stopped. One camp. I mean, you could see the change. The change was like between day and night. Wow. Just spending 2-3 days with a higher anointing. Say, wow. Yeah. So as for the anointing, there are levels. You see? And it is not necessarily age related. The reason why sometimes it looks like it's age related is because as you get older, you are more mature and you learn faster. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. But you young, you can't be anointed if you can't get the principle. And in this church, there are so many materials, steps to the anointing, catch the anointing. These are all teachings that has been put together on how to be anointed and how to move from one level to the other. Yeah. There are various types of anointing. Various types of anointing. Teaching anointing, preaching anointing. Yeah. The ability to even preach long like Bishop for hours. I want to try it. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to have a camp. Yeah. And I won't jump into many days of camp. We'll start as Friday night and do a whole Saturday and close in the evening. Amen. Yeah, because it's also another level of anointing. Yeah. Wow. If you don't have it and you try, people will sleep. And people will not even come. So there are levels. And we must all recognize it and work at going higher. Your levels must change every time, frequently, several times a year. Amen. One of the things that I've experienced more than once, several times, is an experience where you feel imparted, and then you know that something has changed. Then you go for a little bit, and you feel that something has changed. But sometimes, the experience that even Bishop talks about, that when you are listening to a message, something jumped in. I felt it many times driving. I just scream. I know something has changed. Something has come that was not there before. You see? Yeah. So you have to learn all these steps, these methods and ways by which God anoints. Yeah. And be engaged. The principal way is gaining by trading. You see, as you are working. Because as you seriously work, you would engage a lot of principles. You'll be praying more, you'll be listening to tapes more, you'll be studying more, you'll be interacting more with great men of God as you do the ministry. You see, and that is a source. The Bible says that as I've quoted this a couple of times, as in water, face answereth to face. As in water, face. When you look in water, your face is seen. Your face is answering to face. So he says, so is the heart of man to man. You see, the heart of an anointed person will respond to your heart. It's something that it's not this just casual, you know, just listening to a tape. They say we should listen to a tape, so you are also listening to a podcast. No, it's a certain heart, a journey. Yeah, that's why one of the things we've learned from Bishop many years ago is when you identify maybe a message that you connect to, that excites you, that makes you yearn more for the thing, and then keep to that mess, that tape. I have a couple of tapes that no matter I go around, I come to that one. Because it's a source of the anointing. Are you understanding? So levels of anointing, there are enough scriptural evidence to show that there are levels of anointing. Number one, the most common scripture that we know is the scripture that talks about Elijah and Elisha. Isn't it? Jah and Shah. Shah caught an anointing from Jah. Isn't it? 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. This is a very short message. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 9. It said, Elijah, and it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit. I can't help it, but I say it here again. Then, why did he not say, let a double portion of the Holy Spirit come upon me? Let a double portion of the Holy Spirit be upon me. But he said, let a double portion of thy spirit, your heart, that which is in you, let a double portion of that be upon me. Yeah. Because the anointing is upon custodians. God chooses vessels. I mean, they are ready-made vessels that he has chosen. I mean, when you get to heaven, ask him why you were not one of them, or you are not one of them yet. Maybe you'll be one soon, isn't it? But he puts his anointing upon particular people. And then whenever he wants to bless somebody, or somebody wants and yearns for that same anointing, he will take of, he won't go and create a new one. He will just take of the spirit that is upon that person, and then you put it on another vessel. Wow. Yeah. And I tell you, if we can learn to yearn and chase the anointing like Elisha chased it from Elijah, we will all be anointed. Amen. Yeah. I believe in chasing the anointing. I tell you, when I feel or I see an anointing that I like, I chase it till I get it. Amen. Seriously. I believe it, that you can have it. Amen. Yes. When you yearn for it, and you desire it, and you chase it with all your heart, it will come upon you. Amen. Yeah. Maka, you can ask her. I've been telling you, sing Sinash. Sing Sinash. Have I not told you many times? That sing Sinash. Even when she was, I said Sinash. Yeah. And she soaks Sinash in. To the point that even Lady Pastor Ida recognizes that on her now, isn't it? Yeah? To sing it. And now you're singing it. Somebody's passing saying that I want to see Sinash. But don't let your head swell up. Oh. There's more. There's more. One day Bishop had a vision. And he was telling us about it. I think it's one of the books or one of the long time messages. And he said in a vision he was on a road, a highway, or a route. And as he was going there, it was like there were gold. There was gold all over. Jewels. And then the Lord, he was so excited, so he was like trying to gather some for himself. And I said, No. Don't bother. Just keep going. Because there's even wilder ones ahead. Wow. You see? And that is how it is. We get so excited about you know, oh, this is it. And no, this is not it. There's more. You understand? So we must press on and keep moving on because there's more ahead. Yeah. I mean, Bishop is my father in ministry. If you look at him now, I mean, you can't deny that Bishop as he is now is very different from the Bishop that we knew many years ago. Very different. Yes. Another level. You understand? Yeah. And that should show us that we can also move higher. As our Father is going higher, we can also. So don't be just satisfied with what we see and what we have. There's more. Amen. Yeah. There's more. And we must desire even more than what he has. Wow. Yeah. Isn't that what Elisha did?
Yes.
I won twice. And he got twice. Maybe if he had asked quadruple, he would have gotten four times. But he was just happy. Yeah, and when you count the number of miracles that Elisha did, it's exactly twice what Elijah did. Yeah, go and do some Bible study and see. He was able to achieve, and we have a father that is, you know, open. You know, it's not everyone who can be a father. I was telling my young people on Sunday. I think I shared that. Mother's Day, yeah. That there's a difference between instructors and fathers. Yes, there's a difference. That's why the Bible says that we don't have many fathers. We have thousands of instructors. An instructor delivers a lesson. Yes. Just come and deliver the biology lesson. Come and deliver the chemistry lesson. You see, whether you are able to get it properly or not is irrelevant. He will give you the lesson and then test you and grade you at the end that you pass or you fail. And even when he tells you that you failed, he's not even remorseful or sad for you. If you fail, you failed my exam, you have to, my test, you have to do a reset, isn't it? But a father does not just deliver a lesson, but the father actually makes sure that lesson greatly imparts you. That lesson produces a result in you. That lesson actually takes you from one level to the other. A father is happy when he sees that you know, the lesson that was given has actually changed you. So he doesn't just give you the lesson. He holds your hand and walks you through. After he's instructed, he holds your hand, walks you through to make sure that you arrive at the place that he wants you to be. That's a father. Yeah. And in doing so, you have to be patient. Yeah. You have to be patient. You have to be kind. You have to, even when you're annoyed for a little bit, but you correct the child. I have two biological sons. I love them. I want them to do far better than I did. You see, I want them to do better in life. I may be angry at them and scream and all, but at the end of the day, they know that I love them. In fact, as they are growing, they are even seeing it even more and understanding it. But that is a father's heart. You see, he may correct you. He may say things harshly. He may push you. But the thing, he wants you to be in a certain place. That is a father. And incidentally, that word father does not necessarily mean, in terms of gender, a female, a male. All right? Yeah, because he said, in Christ have I begotten thee. I've begotten you. So a father is someone who birthed something in you. And a woman can birth something also in you. And be father-like, isn't it? Yeah. So that is what a real father. And I'm saying this because I want to tell you that our bishop, that is a real father. He's always looking for ways and means to help us.
Yes.
Yeah. To help us. He's always looking for ways and means to make us even have what he has and even more. He's happy when we do well. Yeah. And not everybody can be a father. You see this Elisha guy that was looking for twice. Do you know that when he died, nobody got twice what he had? Yeah, he was rather cursing and finishing people because he couldn't tolerate you failed. You see, unlike Elijah, who fathered him and made him what he was. Amen. So there are levels. There are levels of anointing. Brother Zuma, are you understanding? Yeah, there are levels. There are levels of anointing. We must climb higher. I want to have more anointing than I have now. And I will never be satisfied.
Amen.
I must have more and more and more and more. Yes. Yes. And that should be your heart's desire. Amen. Another scriptural evidence or that points to the fact that there are levels is John chapter 3 and verse 34. John chapter 3 and verse 34. This describes the ministry of Jesus. It says, for he whom God had sent, the one that God had sent, and this is talking about Jesus, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Measure. Everybody say measure.
Measure.
So measuring denotes levels. Yeah. There's a difference between one cup and two cups. There's a difference between 1 ounce and a third of an ounce. There's a difference between a teaspoon and a tablespoon and a dessert spoon. There's a difference. And a ladle. I say they are all different measures. So that tells you that there are measures of the Holy Spirit given. And God, the Bible says that the one that God had sent, God did not give that person the Spirit by measure. Jesus had the highest anointing. Jesus is the highest standard. Now, it's interesting. There's a book written by Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris, Christ Embassy. And I don't really read a lot of his books, but there's only one book that I've read. I have, I think, two or so. But that's one of the books that I love it because it made me understand the seven spirits of God. Something called the seven spirits of God. Yeah. And he talks about this verse. And he's the only one that I know that explains this verse that way. And I believe it. I believe it. Because you think about it. The Holy Spirit is actually the one that was given to us to enable us to do the work. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't do the work. Yeah. That's why the instruction to the apostles was to tarry until the Holy Ghost had come. Isn't it? Yes. And that's why Jesus said, I'll give you another comfort, another helper. He's the one who helps us, paraclete, isn't it, to do the work of God. So you think about it this way. If we are supposed to do what Jesus Christ did, and do even more, greater works, isn't that what the Bible says? That we who believe in him will do even greater works. We haven't done the works yet. But the potential is that we can do greater works. Why do you think that God will give us less? It makes sense, isn't it? Because it says, he who God had sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So what it actually means is, if we are to do the works that Jesus Christ did, and even do more, and the only way we are going to be able to do it is by the help of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit on us, it means that potentially, we are supposed to also have the anointing without measure. I believe it. Is it attainable? Yes. How many people attain it? Maybe not many. Isn't it? Yeah. But I tell you, there are people that we don't hear about. There are people that we don't even, they are not even in books and things. I mean, I've heard of testimonies of people who have just been caught up like Enoch. They just were not. Yeah, they got so close to God and so anointed that they just disappeared. Wow. Yeah, Kenneth Hagin used to say that when he was alive on this earth, he used to say that sometimes he gets into realms that he gets scared and then he comes back because he feels like he will disappear or something. Something's going to happen to him, so he will just go so far and then he comes back. He says he actually gets scared. Yeah. So the anointing we can get without measure. Yes, we can get without measure. We are joking. Do you understand? We are not serious. We can be very serious. Even the amount that we need to do this, our little work that we are doing, take care of 3-4 sheep, you know, and grow a church, we are even playing with it. But we're talking about the kind of anointing that was on Christ, potentially ours, that we can be so anointed without measure. Can you imagine it? Yeah. So anointed. The Holy Spirit so much on you. Listen, you have to have that hunger to change levels. You have to have that hunger. When you listen to Bishop Ayede, one of the things he always talked about, changing level. Today your level is changing. Today it's not a slogan. It's not something to make you happy or excited or it's real. Your levels must change. Your levels must as our father, our bishop, our prophet, his level is changing every time. Every time he says higher. Yeah. So must our level also change. But you got to know that exists. You got to know that there are levels. Yeah. If you go to a school or you start school and all you knew is that there's only first grade, there's nothing beyond first grade, you will always be in first grade, isn't it? Yeah, but when you know that there's first grade, there's second grade, I mean, there's high school, middle school, high school, college, postgraduate, doctorate degree, PhD, I mean, you would want to do more. Yeah, and that is the kind of heart you should have. Amen. So as we end, I want us to stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And let's spend just 1 minute or so praying. Put your hand on your heart and pray earnestly for your heart and say, God, help my heart. I want to change levels. 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 Come on, pray that prayer and say, Lord, I want to walk in higher anointings. Higher anointings. Higher anointings. Higher anointings. Yes, Lord. Father, help us. We want to be even go higher. Lift us up, Lord. Give us a greater in-depth understanding of the Holy Spirit and of the anointings of the Holy Spirit, the different dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Oh, help us to hunger and thirst after the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, to know the works of the Holy Spirit, to know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to know the different descriptions of the Holy Spirit in your word, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of faith, and every kind of of description that you have given, even to us, even pertaining to the Holy Spirit, that we may know that even as knowledge increases, Lord, our desire for the Holy Spirit would even increase, so that we'll desire, then we will have him. Father, help us, help us, help us, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to even seek the anointing. Help us to even follow the things that we need to follow, even to be more anointed. Help us to engage the principles that we need to engage so we'll be anointed. In the name of Jesus. 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 More, more, more of the anointing. More of the Holy Spirit. More of the anointing. More of the anointing. More of the anointing. To walk in the anointing. Even higher levels of anointing. Higher levels of anointing. Let him even double up and quadruple and multiply upon us, Lord. Let, oh God, us to have more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit. That will be better lay ministers, that will be better lay pastors, that will be better lay shepherds, that will be better at even that which we do, that would have even more results. For it is not by power, it is not by mind, it is by the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit. For yoke shall be broken by the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let, oh God, help us to have more of the Spirit of God. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. To you be the praise. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we are so grateful to you for tonight. Thank you for reminding us even of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, oh God, that you've reminded us that there are even levels of the Holy Spirit. May we desire. May we desire. If there's anybody here tonight who does not have that desire, I pray for that person. Specifically, tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you will speak to your hearts. Let, oh God, there be a desire for the anointing. Let everyone here be an anointing chaser. Loving the anointing. Loving the anointing. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's take